Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Be a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, was trying to figure out why I'm still single, even though you could put me in a pasture and milk me and say, you a nice cow. My guest today is a hilarious comedian and host of the podcast Community Service. He is the winner of MTV's dating show Next. Oh. And you can see him touring stand-up all over America. And I think he's so funny. Go to his Instagram because he posts a ton of jokes. And there's this really great joke. Whatever, I'll get into it. It's Craig Conant!
Hey, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you? Okay.
I'm good.
I love this joke that you have about getting raided and then you knew one of the officers because you went to
that wasn't a joke. Yeah, I got raided.
I know. You tell it on stage and it's funny, but it is a true story.
Yeah, I got raided by the police on there's so many layers of this story. I don't know if you want it. I just had smoked speed for the first time. That's important.
Okay.
That'll make sense. I bring that up for a reason. I'm sober now for a reason as well. So I just do bad stuff. On my lunch break at Trader Joe's, my coworker bust out a pipe, right? I pulled out a weed pipe. He goes, "You want to smoke?" And I'm like, I thought it was weed. He pulled out a pookie, but I was a bit of a, you know, look at me. Anyways, I hit it on my lunch break. But the point of me bringing that up is now I'm getting raided like 3 days later. And they're there for the front house, which is King Mike. Like he had two strikes. They're trying to send him away for life. I don't know that they're there for him. So I just think, whoa, I smoked speed one time. They're quick. Like, how did they know? They're so good. But I had no idea they were there for the felon in the front house. This is separate home, separate residence. And then I go to, it's a SWAT team, and they have helicopters, everything, and shotguns. Just machine, like guns. And they're like, open your door. And I wore contacts and glasses. I got LASIK money now. I started making money, baby. I could see. Anyways, I'm reaching for glasses and I just hear hands in the air, motherfucker. And then I think it's my roommate. It's a true story. It's all in my act. It feels weird telling it again. But then they go, open your door. And I open the door and there's a Culver City cop pointing a shotgun at my chest. And I know him, Chris, and we played Little League together, and we went.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
I'd known him since like 10, 11, 12, and we went down different paths, and he's a cop, and I'm on the other end of the gun. And then, I just was like, help me. And then he handcuffed me, and he put him on loose, though. And then All I kept thinking, because I was just starting stand-up and I was in UCB improv class, and I was like, I can't get locked up again. I'm going to miss comedy school. And then I end up farting on the police. I farted on the police. I know that sounds made up. I swear on my life. I farted on those cops when they were questioning me in the alley. King Mike got away with it. He's good at his job of crime because they didn't arrest anybody that day. I was on probation for a firework incident, and I have fireworks. So I was real nervous, and that, you know, and I had weed and mushies and, you know, switchblades and stuff. Just the bare necessities.
Just a fun assessment of things. That's so funny to smoke speed for the first time, and then 3 days later, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I guess this is the drug that people don't like.
Yeah.
This is the bad
one.
That's
the bad one. It got me sober. Got me out of hell.
Oh, that incident got you sober?
Well, yeah, there was a lot of incidents, but yeah.
I accidentally snorted crystal meth once at a club. I was at a gay club, and this guy was like, do you do Tina? And I was like, I'll do Tina. I'll do Carolyn. I'll do Cynthia. Yeah. Snorted it, and I was like, whoa, this coke is wild.
You got bamboozled.
And then I cleaned my whole house top to bottom and stayed up for like 2 days. It was wild.
And that's why you're single.
And that's why.
Me too. Me too. No, yeah, that was just a big dump of the story, but I had to get it all out there. That was a wild story.
It is a wild story. And what was another thing that made you get sober, if you don't mind me asking? Because you're like pretty open about it, right?
Yeah, I like to share it because it lets the knuckleheads know you could get out and better yourself. Because when you're down in the depths of hell, you don't know you could get out of drugs and alcohol, you know? So I really enjoy being a complete open and honest book about my drug and opioid use. Anyways, it was another arrest. I threw firecrackers near police officers on horses in the 4th of July. And it made three local newspapers and my mom cry, and they got me. They got me good. I didn't mean to. People think I intentionally did this. I was so hammered I didn't see them, you know?
Oh, to me, I thought it was like, let's see those horses dance. Yeah,
I didn't even see them. And PETA wished death upon me, the animal rights organization. They're sending me death threats. And I got, made three local newspapers, and I was banned from the Pier and Plaza. It was wild.
Oh, no.
I missed work because I was in jail for that one.
What do you tell your job when you've been in jail? Because I've only been in jail when I didn't have a job.
I told them the truth. I was in jail. I'm sorry. Let me keep my job.
Did they let you keep your job?
They did. They did. Two times. Show your shows. Yeah. I did no call, no shows. So I was in jail and they let me keep my job. And then I was fired at a later date for my antics. I farted on my manager and filmed it and put it on Instagram. I got a lot of stories, girl. I got a lot of stories.
That's really funny that they were like, all right, we can forgive jail, but farting on the manager and posting it to social media, you're out of here.
Yeah. It went viral. That's why corporate. They're like, get him out of here. This kid's getting views. But it launched me. And it's, yeah.
This kid's getting views. Craig, I have a question. Are you single? Are you married? Do you not want to say? Because that's an option.
I'm single. I mean, I thought I was with this girl, but she be playing with my heart. I don't know what to do, dude.
Oh, no.
I'm a sucker for love. I fall hard and fast.
I, too, am a hopeless romantic. And I'm always like, I think love is coming just around the river bend. Like, I met this dude on a plane, and I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be it. And we talked for, like, 4 hours, and then I invited him to an improv show because I was like, I can't invite him to dinner. That's too intimate. And then he was like, I'll come. Can I come backstage? And I was like, yes. And then I told him that my favorite movie was Houseguest, and he was like, I love Sinbad. And I was like, oh, my God, we're going to get married. And then he didn't come to the show, and I haven't heard from him since.
Oh, that's a bust, man. But I do love Houseguest. Phil Hartman, Sinbad. Come on now.
Oh, it's a perfect movie. And they look like they're having so much fun.
Yeah.
Like the party scene looks like an actual party that they were just having a good time at. Oh. Craig, I have another question about one of your jokes. You took, I think it was a cousin. She was like giving birth and you took her to the hospital. It's such a funny joke. I don't want to like tell all your jokes, but like the doctor was like, do you want to watch the baby being born? You're like, yes. And then it just took so long. And then you're like, I'm just staring at my cousin's pussy.
I stared at my cousin's pussy for like 2 straight minutes and nothing happened. Nothing happened. Keep in mind, folks, I was supposed to watch the birth of my cousin. Mm-hmm. I ended up watching it. It was me and my cousin watched my cousin sprout out a cousin. And we were like, it was crazy. I just watched my son being born on FaceTime on an iPhone on a plane.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild that they were like, yup, set up the phone, put it down there. What was it like? What did the people next to you say? Were they like, huh?
That's the whole joke.
I don't want you to.
No, it's okay. All right. It's true. The guy next to me was like, what are you watching? I'm like, yeah, check this bloody pussy, dog. That's the punchline. I was like, Wedding Crashers? I don't know.
Oh, Wedding Crashers? the director's cut of Wedding Crashers? That's so funny. Wait, so you have a kid?
Yeah.
How old?
He's 7 weeks now.
Oh my God.
Marlo,
that's a cute name.
Yeah.
So what's it like being a dad? Is it like...
Oh, I love it.
Do you feel like pressure to be like, oh, I gotta be like a great dad?
Yeah, but it's oddly... I was just talking about that with my baby mama. It was... it's like more chaos, but it's more manageable. Like, I don't have anxiety about it. Like, I'm mm-hmm. more chill, even though more was added to my plate. That doesn't even make sense, you know? Because before my son, like anything tore this, that, you're like, oh my God. Now I'm like, ah, it's all right.
I think kids put things like, I mean, I don't personally want a kid, but I do love a baby. Like my cousin's having a baby and I'm so fucking excited because she lives pretty close. And I was like, ooh, I'm just going to like hang out on the weekends and play with your baby until it's too old and I don't like it anymore. But I feel like kids put shit in perspective where you're like, oh, this thing I was so worried about isn't actually important. It's like, it's this human's important.
They do. Yeah, it's that. And I probably downloaded this off of TikTok, but you don't teach them how to live. They teach you how to live. It like reorganizes your priorities and your all of it. You know, it's not about me anymore.
It isn't. It's about this little person that you just got to guide through the world. I don't love children because I think they haven't been around long enough to have an actual opinion, but they're full of opinions. But kids think I'm funny, and I like that because kids are honest. So whenever an adult's like, I don't think you're funny, I'm like, talk to the legion of kids who do.
Yeah. Dude, kids in there, they just say the most funny shit, dude. Like my niece said to my mom's a larger Mexican woman, and my niece and my mom were driving and she saw a worker on a ladder and my niece said, Grandma, you can't climb that ladder. You're too big. And my mom just started laughing. She's like, well, you're right, but you don't need to tell me. You know, just checked by a 4-year-old, you know?
Yeah. She like, that's so funny. My friend's daughter pressed on my stomach and went, Nini, you're like a bouncy ball. And I was like, okay, cool. And then her mother was like, you don't need to say that. She's like, well, did I tell a lie? And I was like, no, you actually didn't tell a lie. But like, I already know I look like a bouncy ball. And she went, Nini, are you happy? And I said, yeah. She's like, then it doesn't matter if you're a bouncy ball. And I was like, you know, this none of this is a lie. She actually is really onto something.
The kid is dropping wisdom right there.
Uh-huh. And now she's 13 and a fucking idiot.
She's like, are you happy with yourself? Then what's the problem?
What's the problem?
She did more work than the therapist. She's
she
five.
Really did. Honestly, you know. She kind of did. I was like, oh, yeah. What is if I'm happy? Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
So, Craig, tell me about the first relationship you remember. Do you consider yourself a late bloomer, an on-time bloomer, or an early bloomer?
I was probably regular on time. Like I got the first girlfriend in middle school and we held hands and it didn't really go further. Not till later in high school, you know, the sex stuff. And
that sounds pretty on time.
Yeah. I was terrified and I didn't know what to do. And I went through all the, you know, no doubt Tragic Kingdom was out and we broke up. I was like, don't speak. And I'm crying, you know, in the hallways. Just that silly, you know what I mean? And we know we only held hands. If only I knew how hard it would get later, you know.
Mm-hmm.
With moving a girlfriend out or something, you're just like, bleh. We had books together. We had shelves together.
We shared trinkets. I've never lived with anybody, and I've never actually like thought about that aspect. Like, yeah, separating your lives is one thing, but then like living with someone and moving, that must be
brutal.
Fucking sad.
Oh, it's so sad. Especially when it took like a month, you know, like a month or two.
2 months to move shit out?
Well, we broke up and then it was just like the holidays. We were still friends and we still are till this day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird because we were like, and then we broke up. And then after that, we got along. We're like, wait a minute, why are we breaking up? Because of a year of just at each mm-hmm. other's throats. But then once that barrier was popped, it was like we remembered all the good stuff and enjoyed each other. And then it was like hard, you know?
Oh, yeah, because you're like, we're not fighting. Maybe we can make this work. That's interesting when like a friendship works, but then like the romance part is all fucked up.
Yeah.
Because it like doesn't make sense. It's like 1 + 1 should equal 2, but 1 + 1 here is equaling like 36. And it's like, why? This fucking sucks.
Somebody told me this and they said, you only have to get it right once. And that made me feel mm-hmm. better because I've been getting it wrong. I've been getting it wrong.
I'd be getting it wrong too. I can't fucking figure it out. I'm trying to meet people in person and that's not working out. So now, and I was off the apps, but now I'm back on the apps because I was like, the whole meeting someone at a bar is not working. I'm trying to like smile at people. I try to meet someone on a plane. It's tough. It's so hard. I don't know. Craig, how are you meeting? Wait, you tour. Do you have chuckle fuckers?
Yeah, it's great.
I don't. I like ladies, I feel like, or female skewing people. Like, I feel like we don't have chuckle fuckers. And I'm like, this isn't fair. This is like another level of being a man that's like easier. You just like leave the state, get on a stage, get a couple tee hee hees, and then some girl's like, oh my God.
And let me
can
show
I come
you
to your
my chi chis. I was like, I love chi chis. Let me see.
Gigi's, who me? I love them.
I think I got my son. That's why this tour is called the Whoopsie Daisy Tour.
Whoopsie Daisy.
Oh,
God, that's
man.
So fucking funny. Whoopsie Daisy.
Whoopsie Daisy. Papa's a Rolling Stone, son. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Rubbing Chi-Chi's nationwide.
Going state to state, look at them chi-chis. Fucking sucking on some chi-chis.
Chi-chis are universal.
Tell me about being on MTV's Next. You won it?
Oh, yeah. That shit was funny. I was a promotional spokesmodel for Wrigley's Watermelon Gum, and I had to wear a watermelon costume, and only my hands and face stuck out. But uh-huh. You got paid well. This is when I was like a little stoner, you know, 20 something, and they paid you mm-hmm. like $30 an hour to wear that. You got a little overheated though.
Wait, $30 an hour even now is pretty good.
This was like in 2004.
That's sick. That's
but you had
nice.
To wear an embarrassing watermelon costume. That shit was embarrassing, dude. Only your hands and face stuck. You understand? Like I'm a watermelon, like those giant watermelon.
Yeah. Honestly, one of the funniest sentences I've heard in a very long time. Do you understand? I was a watermelon.
I'm a watermelon. You understand? I had seeds. Anyways, I was handing out gum, and then MTV uh-huh. was scouting. I was handing out a new item, Wrigley's watermelon gum at Long Beach College. I didn't go to college. I was just working, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they were there recruiting for MTV's Next. And they're like, look at this guy in the watermelon suit. Let's see if he wants to do it. And I was like, hell yeah. Uh-huh. And then they selected me and I had an audition. And I'll never forget, I saw like Cameron Diaz there. And that was before ever doing Hollywood, you know. So I was like, oh mm-hmm. my God. Now you're like, who cares?
Who gives a shit?
No, she's great. I just mean like you've been in the business.
You know? No, yeah, you see people all the time and you're just like, ooh, moving on.
Then they chose me and I went on the date and then the director came up to me. This is in my act, but all my acts, true stories. The director said, you won, what would you like, the money or the girl? And I was like, I want the money. And then he said, but this date's going well. It'll look better for TV if you choose a girl. I was like, yeah, but I want the money. And he's like, I'll give you both, bro. And it was only like $62 or something. But I was like a broke stoner kid. And I was like, I want the money. We're not hitting it off.
Honestly, that's really funny that you're like money. And they're like, girl, come on. Don't you want to go out more with that girl?
Money.
And you were like, absolutely not. I don't give a shit. It's $62.
Yeah.
And I love that they were like, we'll just give you fucking both.
Yeah, and I got both.
It would have been funny if you were like, I don't want both.
I don't want both.
I simply don't want that girl.
Give me my $62.
Double the money. Give me $164. Wait, no, $124. Wait, did I do that right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
$124 is right.
Okay, perfect. I didn't go to college either. So, you know, math be hard sometimes.
Yeah, and then I thought it was going to be another big, huge date set up by MTV and this and that. And then it wrapped. And they said, all right. I was like, well, where's the date? And they're like, go get her number. I'm like, that's it? And I had to do it and pay for it and everything. They didn't give you any money for the second date. Besides that,
so you had to use
$62.
Your $62 on the second date?
Hell no, I bought an eighth of OG Kush. See you later, Brittany.
Bye, bitch.
You just match with the druggie.
I always wished, like, as an adult, I could be a functional stoner. I can't. In high school, I was, but I don't know. Like, looking back, I was like, oh, maybe I wasn't actually functioning because I would go to school high all the time, but I didn't get anything done. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just be there.
Yeah, I thought I was functioning, but I would drool, run into walls, and my grades went downhill. So, no, I wasn't functioning. I was high off my rocker. I just didn't give a shit about anything.
Yeah, and then one day I realized that some of the girls were drinking vodka with their orange juice, and I was, like, drunk at school?
Oh, no.
Don't mind if I do. And I only did that a couple times, but I was like, this is wild. This is nuts to just be, like, drunk at gym class.
I think I did that once, and I was like, this isn't the move.
No.
Weed at school goes hand in hand. You may fail your classes, but drunk at school, you just have to pee a lot, and everyone can smell you. They know.
Yeah, everyone could smell you, and then they're like, what are you saying? What are you trying to say? I was like, I don't know. I love Beowulf.
Yeah.
Here's a question. What is one of the worst dates you've ever been on?
Oh, man. I have a bunch. I'm usually the worst date, though. It's me. I took this girl to the lobster festival, and I didn't have money. It was broke, drug addict days. And I was like, let's hop this fence, and once we sneak in, we'll get free lobster. But then once we snuck in, you still had to buy, like, a plate. So I'm digging in the trash can for, like, a clean lobster plate with no butter stains. And I got a couple, and then I stole, like, I stole lobster, but she ate it. And we got, and then one time a girl, like, was going through a breakup and asked me to leave my apartment so she could call her dude. And I went in the other room, and she was, like, crying, and it was awful.
Oh, no.
That's up there.
That sucks. The first story about the lobsters makes you seem like Aladdin, where you're, like, you know, kind of poor, but, like, crafty.
Yeah. You gotta still eat. Gotta eat to live. Tell you about it when I got the time. One jump ahead of the riffraff. One jump. I love Aladdin. That's a good one.
It's a very good movie. But yeah, I was, as you were saying it, I was like, oh, that's gross. But I was like, in my 20s, if someone had me jump a fence to go to a lobster festival and then was like, we're going to steal lobster, I would absolutely be like, yeah, let's fucking do it. Maybe now I'd be like, no, baby.
Now I'm like, no, are you out of your mind? 23 and high. I'm like, yeah, this is happening. It's what
Not
we're
even
doing.
High at 23. I'd be like, this man is a full-blown adventure, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
I do love that you're like, I was the problem. And then the second story, the girl is the problem. What's the best date you've been on?
First date in the movie theater, and she had sex with me, and she was like a wild girl. And like,
wait, you had sex in the movies?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Before a show, like this girl hit me up. She was so hot. I was like, I don't drink. And she, and I was like, we go to the movies or, you know, I don't want to drink. And then we went and we saw the movies. And then, yeah, she went from like not, like kind of like reluctant to be there to grabbing me. And yeah. And then the guy was like watching us, this the movie guy, you know.
Oh,
he came
no.
up, he stood over us, and I'm just holding her like this. And
did he
it
say
was
anything?
Awesome. It was probably the coolest day. He just stared at us, and I just held her, and I just stopped pumping real quick. I just was like, don't move. And, yeah, we had sex in the movies, and that was the first and last time that has ever happened.
That's so wild. Did you go on a second date with her?
No. That's it. She was far away and too crazy. The thing is, like if I said, hey, remember that? She'd be like, no. That was like a Tuesday for her. Like, this girl was crazy. That was nothing. Like, my coolest moment was like, she's like, who was that? You know?
God, that's so wild. I wish I was wild like that, but also I don't. I'm getting older. I'm glad that I'm not, you know, insane or whatever. But like, how badass to just be like, oh yeah, that's something I did Tuesday. And on Wednesday, I robbed a grocery store. Like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, I was. It was. It was exciting.
Craig, real quick, we gotta take a break.
Okie dokie.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about. And thank God I have a podcast. But then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist. And listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me, spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. Ooh, Craig, we're back. Okay, are you on the apps?
No, I re-download them after my ex moved out. That gut-wrenching awfulness. I still love her. That's why it's awful. Anyways, and then I was on there for like 2 weeks. I was like, I'm done. And I never met up with anybody. I got like one number. I was like, this is a waste of life.
That's what it feels like right now. Cause I said before they were gone. Now they're back. And I'm talking to this one guy and it's just like this long conversation we've been having. And I'm like, when are you going to ask me out? Like, I'm not going to ask you out because apparently men don't like when women are forward or chase them. So I'm like, you got to do it. And then it's like, if you're not doing it, you don't want to do it. And then what am I doing? Just wasting my fucking time?
Yeah. Dating sucks. This shit sucks. I try to just be honest and upfront and not care anymore.
What do you say up front?
Like, if I love a girl, I'll tell her, like, quick. I'll be
really?
Like, yeah, it's bad. but I mean it. It's not contrived. It's not to keep her or anything like that. It's like, oh, I usually say, oh, shit, I got feelings. You know, like, I'm not happy about it. It just happens in your gut and your heart. And you're like, God damn it, I love you.
I feel like you are a rarity. I feel like a lot of gentlemen don't say I love you. Well, just like they don't say it till like it's too late. Or maybe it's like maybe people haven't been in love with me. And maybe that's why I haven't heard it.
No, most men hold that shit back, if I'm being real honest, or wait way too long. And when it's past due, I'm definitely quick. Well, I say what I mean and I mean what I say. And it's just like life's short. What am I going to? What if I don't tell her and, you know, like, she runs off because she didn't think that, or I get hit by a bus or this or that, or, you know, that's dark. But it really though, like, like it's poof. Might as well, if you mean it, say it. If you don't mean it, then do not say it.
Yeah. Don't say it.
Don't
ruin someone's whole life.
Yeah.
Being like, I love you. Actually, I don't. I love that you said life is short. Cause I think life is fucking long.
It feels so long. But when it's over, you'll be like, that was it.
Well, I mean, we're already at like, this comes out in April, but we're recording this in March. I'm like, I can't believe it's already fucking March. This year's fucking flying. We're almost at the summer.
Time is speeding up. What is happening? What happened? We're just getting older. I feel like my dad now. Back in my day, you know.
Back in my day, there wasn't as much pollution. I don't know.
Back in my day, we dug in the dirt. Now you guys got Minecrafty little pussies. You dig in the virtual dirt. We had our dick in the soil.
I mean, you're not far off. I put on one of those like VR headsets and I was with somebody and they were like, do you want to share a coffee? And I was like, okay. And then he put a coffee in my hand and I was like, this is not sharing a coffee. This is not real. This is
a VR coffee?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like where the world's headed. Get your VR coffee out of here.
I didn't like it. It made me like, it gave me motion sickness because you're moving in VR, but you're sitting in your house. And I was like, oh, I can't, this is not for me. We simply cannot be doing this.
Yeah. My last flight home, the guy was wearing VR and it just creeped me out.
On the flight, he was in VR?
He was in, he wore those goggles and he was doing stuff and I'm sitting right next to him. He kept going like this. I'm just kidding. That was mean, just mean, this silly.
He was honking on titties.
Chee-chee.
He was slurping. Chee-chee. He was going.
Yeah, he wasn't doing that, but it was weird. It still was weird. Still was weird.
It is fucked up because a plane isn't real life. We're flying through the sky. That's already a break from reality.
Sir, will you fall asleep with your mouth open like me and catch flies like the rest of? Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, fucking be normal.
Be normal,
God,
dog.
It's weird. How fucking weird.
Yeah, I don't like it. This AI stuff. Go away. Go
Me
away.
Either. I don't like AI because I keep getting tricked on like Instagram. Cause I like I follow a bunch of like interior decorators and people who do interiors. And I'll be like, ooh, I like that. How can I find this lamp? And they're like, made on AI. I'm like, why would you do that to me? I love lamps. I want to buy a lamp. Let me have the lamp. I mean, right now I am so single. It feels wild. I'm just like, when is something going to happen? And I've talked to so many like palm readers and tarot card readers, and they all keep being like, it's around the corner. Can't tell you where or when or who, but it's a coming. And I'm like, but I'm paying you
but
to
I
tell
want
me
it
exactly
now.
When and where, and I want it tomorrow.
I'll tell you this, though. It's a reoccurring pattern in my life, whether it be dating or career or anything. The moment you stop looking is when you find it. Ain't that something?
Yeah,
it's always
that.
That's
what people
say. It's always that. Isn't
just
it nuts?
Stop looking. It is nuts.
You're like, but I'm lonely. I want it now. I don't want
to wait. I want someone to dick me down. I'm so fucking horny. I don't want to wait.
That's easy.
I don't want to wait.
Just have a bottle of baby oil. I'll oil you up, girl. What's happening? How you doing?
A bottle of baby oil? All right. What are you looking for in, like, a partner? What do you want?
Just trust.
Mm-hmm.
Just not having to worry. Just help me go up, you know? Let's build an empire. I find myself in relationships, and they're not necessarily going up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As simple as that sounds, just I don't care what it is, just... whether in real estate or teacher or comedy, just are we going up? Are we bettering ourselves? Are we trying? Are we doing mm-hmm. some work? Or are we bickering and tearing each other down and hurting each other? And, you know, I guess that more so than looks aren't the number one thing I'm into. Just laughter, just fun, chill,
mm-hmm.
just chill. Like, who's chill? Y'all women could be a little high maintenance. I don't know if you notice.
I'm not chill. I wish I was. I wish I was like a lackadaisical person who's like, yeah, whatever. Who cares? But I'm not. I'm not chill.
You eat mushrooms?
I do eat mushrooms, and I love a mushroom.
Yeah, they'll make you chill. Just eat some mushrooms.
They do make me chill. They do make me very giggly. Although the last girls' weekend I went on, we took them. And we were all laughing, ha, 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 having a great time. And I was like, hey, what's everyone's deepest, darkest secret? And they're all like, what?
They're like, no.
They're like, no, Nicole, you're ruining the fucking vibes. Just chill out. And I was like, I can't do it.
Let's make it spicy.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know. But I do love mushrooms. I took them at like a friend's memorial and... it was still sad, but like it did chill me out a little bit because I was feeling like extra anxious about it. I'm not sure why. But yeah, I love mushrooms. I think they're great.
Dude, they're great. They're amazing. They just pull you out of depressions, make you love nature, your mother, and whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're just good vibes.
I'm not sure. Like, why aren't they legal? Like, why? I don't get why we're not just like regulating them and like. Because they
finally
are good for depression. Oh, are they?
You know how weed used to be and they decriminalized it and started studying it? That's where mushrooms are at.
So, oh, okay.
I don't know exactly where, but probably Colorado and California and Oregon. Uh-huh. They're doing studies and they're helping a lot of people with PTSD, Iraq war veterans, or any war veteran for that matter. Just like it really gets rid of stuff. I cannot preach. It sounds so backwards, but they help me with my addiction as I'm chewing on a mushroom, but it helps me not do narcotics and alcohol, which are the devil, in my opinion. And it just takes the edge off and teeters me to positivity. That's why I'm always preaching.
Yes.
Because everyone's out there struggling with their mental. I'm like, just eat this little mushroom. Just a micro. You don't even have to do
just
a lot.
Yeah, you don't have to trip. Truly, just like I get them in little capsules. I'll take like one or two and then... if I'm like going out and I don't feel like small talking or like I'm in a funk, I'll just be like, boy, oh boy, I can't wait to hear about someone's afternoon.
Yeah.
Or like, tell me something boring and I'm happy to hear it. And I feel good. And when you microdose the next day, it's not like a serotonin drop. It's just kind of like you're even and you feel fine.
Yeah.
I like them.
It doesn't deplete you of your resources and it makes... let's say you're going to that thing you're not going to enjoy. You eat a couple gummies, you're going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got sponsored. I don't know if both the cross promote, but I mean this with all my heart because, you know, as a, when you look like a druggie, the whole world gives you these things for free. So I've tried 14 different companies and I found this one called Colors and they're fantastic because it's a gummy and it's 0.2. It's nothing.
Oh, okay.
You got to eat like 8 to 10 of them to go there, but they're not really for that. They're just just smooth. Smooth operator.
Smooth and even you out and make you have a little tee-hee.
Yeah, a little
Yeah, I did mushrooms with a bunch of people once, and my friend has like a drum kit and like guitar, and we like sang karaoke, and then one friend was like playing the drums, and I was like, wow, I've never... I've never been happier.
Yeah.
Like, we're like in a live-ish band. Nobody's actually playing on beat or on key, but I was like, this is fun.
I was just about to say, if you were sober, you'd be like, what the hell is this? What is this garbage? A mushroom.
What is this? Yeah. Ooh. I think it like it helps you bring back like childlike shit. Like, I feel like we all take shit so seriously because like life is hard, but it kind of just like settles you into like, not that bad.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's what I preach because all my buddies are on those damn pills. And I'm like, we know how the side effects out the ass. I'm sure they save a lot of people, but I know that they've hurt a lot of people too. So that's why I don't want to get too, you know, do what you got to do. But mushrooms, guys, organic, grows naturally.
It grows from the dirt. It's from the earth.
It's from Mama Earth, bro.
How did you get into narcotics, if I can ask?
Oh, boy. I mean, I was... My family's a little wild. I'm half Mexican and we had like gangsters and stuff. And like stuff was always around. Like some of my family was in the hood. And then honestly, though, school, like pills, when I went to school, it was like candy. People were handing them out like Skittles. You could go to the doctor for your teeth and get a bottle. And then it just like in the movies, it started off innocent. We'd take Vicodin and Norcos and Percocets. And then 6 months to a year later, we're hooked. And I would say this, like, in the beginning, we would share. Here, you have one. And then later, like, you drop one. You're like, nobody move. That's my, you know. Like, oh, my God. It was crazy. And then some people graduated and went on to, you know, smoking and injecting. I got out, luckily. I definitely, I said this already, but I dove in, but I held on to the rope.
Held on to the edge.
I was like, I always kept saying, get out, get out, get out. And then I finally did, and some people didn't. It's sad, and that's why I preach that a lot. Like, get out, kids. And I preach natural stuff.
I like it. Yeah. I like that. Preaching natural stuff and also not shying away from, like, what you went through and shit. Wait, you worked at Trader Joe's for 11 years?
Yeah.
And they fired you for farting, which is... truly wild. I also love this. You sold pieces of your Trader Joe's uniform to make money after getting fired.
Yeah. Yeah. I sold all my old uniforms because I was going live as I was getting fired. I put everything on the internet and it kept going. I'll never forget. I was like Tia and Tamara were sharing my stories because it was so crazy. And anyways, yeah, I got fired and then I had a 11 years worth of t-shirts and hoodies, and I sold them in like a half hour for like $2,000. Then I needed that money because I wasn't making money at stand-up yet. And I was denied unemployment. And that's
why?
They're not allowed to fart on people and film it or whatever. I don't know the technicalities, but they weren't giving me.
I would love for the unemployment agency to actually be like, well, you violated section C of farting on your manager and putting it on the internet.
Yeah. My buddy, who's a comic and a lawyer, this is how bad people want to make it in comedy. He's like, I'll represent you to get your unemployment. Just have me on your podcast. And then I had him
on
my podcast.
Fucking funny.
He won. He got me my money.
Oh, he did? Yeah. He made good on his promise? That's nice. God, I love that.
Isn't that crazy?
Real quick, we have to take another break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun. on and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. Craig, what advice do you have for single people out there?
Oh my goodness. Good luck. hang on. Let me pull something insightful. I mean, there's a lot of liars and wolves and all that stuff, but I'm all for just being an open book and honest and laying your cards on the table. I mean, maybe not too soon. Don't be laying them on the first date. Mm-hmm. But, because just back to that, life is short. If you care about a dude or a chick, you know, just say like, yo, I'm in it, you know. I don't know if you are, but I am, and I can't. If it's casual, you know, protect yourself. Like, I can't keep doing this casual stuff. I care about you. What's up? I'm all for it. I respect anyone who's ever done it to me, and I've done it a bunch too. And sometimes it breaks your heart or completes your heart, but it's better than 2 years later and it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you think is too early to say, like, what you feel?
You at least need a month. And you better be hanging out, like, a lot that month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quick, but, like, 1 to 3 months. But, like, if it's happening in a month, we literally went home the first night and she never left. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm crazy. I do stuff like that. And they just move in. move in after one booty rub. And I said, move in.
After one booty
rub?
No,
I mean, not move in, but like sleep over every single night. Sleep over 5 nights a week. So yeah, like I'd say like, you know, 2 to 3 months. I'm okay with that.
All right. That sounds good. I've never hooked up with somebody and never left. I don't even know what that's like. That sounds wild.
It's just so exciting.
It does sound exciting. It sounds like romantic and like a movie. It's like I met him and I just like haven't left his side and we love each other. Ugh, Craig, I want it.
It usually never works out if I'm being real honest.
Okay, that sounded sad.
Oh, for four on the last four girlfriends.
well, maybe lucky number five. And like you said, you only got to get it right once, which is a nice comforting thing to hear.
Yeah, it's true.
But then I wonder, I'm like, am I going to get it right when I'm like 70 fucking years old and then live for like 10 more years and then die? But then I guess that's like a nice 10 years.
Yeah. It doesn't matter when.
Yeah.
To love once is better than none.
Yeah. Is that Shakespeare? Better to have loved than never loved at all?
I didn't read Shakespeare, but yeah, I agree with that sentence.
I think it's one of those things that's like in the ether. And it's like, oh, you just like fucking hear it all the time.
Yeah.
So, Craig, we have come to the end. I find you to be delightful. I think you're so funny. And your tour, I was just looking, you're visiting a lot of places. When does it start? Are you in the midst of it or is it starting?
I've been touring for 4 years. Papa's got bills. No, I do about 50, 60 cities a year. And this is my fourth year headlining. I love it. My next cities, when this comes out, will be Hartford, Albany, Syracuse, Burbank, Tempe Improv, San Jose Improv, CraigConant.com. I'm always slanging these fart jokes. I tell true stories. You heard some of them. There's so many more. I preach sobriety, but I tell you all about the drugs. And I love it. I love it, but I'm tired. I ain't gonna lie. I'm so tired.
No, I get it. Touring is fucking rough.
It's so
hard. If I could snap my finger, I've said this before on the podcast, but if I could snap my fingers and be there right before the show, I would tour for the rest of my life. But I got to take breaks now because I'm like, it's just fucking exhausting to like land in a city, take a nap, get ready for the show, do the show, maybe try to go out or just go to sleep because I got to leave the next day or whatever. It's a lot.
It's a lot. I didn't realize how much energy is exchanged, and I'm doing better at not complaining, but holy hell, it's so much.
Mm-hmm.
So many different moving parts and variables and flights, flying East Coast gigs, having to leave, wake up at 2:30 to make the gig on time, going straight to the airport, onto the stage, and you're just like...
And you're like, ah, oh, man, I feel fucking nuts.
And then you have to do an hour.
Yeah, you know? Doing an hour. And then you're giving a lot of energy when you're performing. Do you do meet and greets?
Absolutely. I'm so grateful for my fans. And I shake hands, hugs, and sell hoodies and grab chichis, you know. I'm just kidding.
That's nice.
No, that was a callback for the chichi.
No, I get it. I love them chichis. I stopped doing meet and greets because I was like, I'm too tired.
It's too much. It's finally became a point where it's too much and I need to figure it out because I am exhausted. So I'm there for them. I wouldn't be there if they weren't there. So I do everybody. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I wait.
Same. I would do everybody, talk to everybody, make sure that I had a conversation, like a 3-beat conversation with somebody, so they felt special. And I was like, this is actually crushing me. And it wasn't like, I don't mind talking to people. It was just like the volume of people. It was like an hour of comedy and then like an hour and a half of
100
meeting people,
hellos
which is
in
also,
a row.
Yeah.
100
and
hugs,
like listening, yeah.
And I mean them, and you mean them. And I'm
and
thank
I meant
you,
them.
I love
and
you, thank you.
And it was like, I am grateful.
Yeah.
So I just try to say up top that I'm grateful because I don't do the meet and greets, but then I feel like I'm like, I hope you believe me, but like, it's like, I wouldn't get to perform unless you came, and that's a fucking special thing. And then also, I used to like get mad at heckling or whatever and like kick people out, but now I'm like, if this is the show y'all want, you can stay. We'll have fun. We'll figure it out all together. And then that takes a little bit more energy to like interact and like make it a part of the show. So I feel like that makes up for the meet and greet. Cause I'm like, this is your show that we're curating together.
Yeah. I'm looking into a solution just to lessen it. Cause the volume is getting out of control. I call them good problems. I used to have bad problems. Now I got good problems.
Uh-huh.
It's like do VIP, but I hate even charging VIP, but give them like a merch item. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, you pay for VIP, you get a shirt. You get a shirt and a hug, and that'll make it go from 200 people to 40 people. And then they get something for it. You know, I'm looking into that because I started selling out as my son was born. Isn't that crazy?
That is honestly so fucking beautiful. Cause it's like shit's happening exactly when you need it. You know,
yeah.
It's like, all right, I need a little bit more money. Okay, you're selling out now. You're like getting to the next level. Like that's just, I don't know. It's really poetic.
Yeah, it really is. And it's perfect timing. So I was like, oh boy, these kids are expensive.
I got a whole other person with these fucking Pampers and shit.
Yeah, that's it. I just keep it, just keep, I'm just grateful, man. I'm so happy from where I came from to where I am now. And I love it. And I when I think about that is when I'm most happy.
Oh, I love that. Just talking about stand-up right now, I was like, oh, yeah, I fucking love stand-up.
It's
just the travel and the, that's it, just the being tired and the travel. Like, I love being up there for, like, an hour. And then whenever I listen to old sets before I do a new set, I'm like, oh, yeah, that funny dumb thing I added.
Yeah, you're like,
oh, yeah, let's try to remember to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't work that night, but maybe it'll work tonight. I don't know. Maybe you'll lose it at the second show. It's a puzzle of fun. It's a funny puzzle.
I love the fine tuning of it and working on it. And like literally people don't understand just switching a name from Hank to Charlie makes it hit harder. You're like, what? You know, like, like Frank's a good comedy name. Let me say Frank. We think about that for hours. And
there was,
works.
I can't even remember what the line was, but I just switched two words in it and it got a huge laugh. And I was like, fuck, man, I spent 2 months trying to crack why this line wasn't working out. And I just flipped it and it like fucking killed. And I was like, ah, yeah. And then before every show, I have to like remind myself, this is how you say it. This is how you say it. Cause it's just not natural to the way that I talk or tell a story. Cause I tell a lot of stories too. But yeah.
Craig, I love it. I love it. I love you. Thank you.
I love you. Thank you so much for fucking doing this. Like, I find you to be so delightful and a goddamn ray of sunshine. And I do love that you talk about dark things with a smile, specifically because it's like shit might be dark, but you're okay now. And it's okay to look back and be like, isn't that dumb what I fucking did? But like, look at me now. I'm doing okay. So I like it and I appreciate you. And I think you're so fucking funny.
It's not my fault. My daddy beat me. I'm just kidding. I love saying shit like that. Just laughing.
Same. I say the saddest shit about my dead parents. And I sometimes will say it in like mixed company. And they're like, you can't just say that to me. And I'm like, why not? Why not? It's funny. It's my trauma.
I'm giggling.
I'm having a good time. Yeah. Fucking you, dead mama, dead dada. Okay, Craig, thank you so much for being here. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe, you can give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you write me something nasty hitting on me to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, I will read it. This lovely person said, hey, Nicole, if I could take you on a date, I would take you to the Sonic Symphony. You would wear a full-length gown, and once the show began, I would crawl underneath the skirt of your gown and start sucking on your clit. I would match the timing of eating you out to the timing of the beautiful music of Sonic. You'll be twitching and squirming in your seat, moaning softly until the crescendo of the symphony, and you will finally have a loud and full-body orgasm like the lady at the Philharmonic. After that, I would crawl out from under your skirt, wipe your juices off my chin, and smile satisfied knowing that Sonic and I brought you pleasure. I have said this once, I have said this twice, I have said this 100 times, Sonic is a child, so I'm not fucking anybody to Sonic, he's a teen. I love Sonic, but not that way, but I will say, thank you for writing that, that was nice that you took the time. Okay, bye-bye.
That was a wild message.
Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer is produced by me, Mars. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco. With talent bookings by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a question, crazy dating story, or a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.